And every year after that, on April 16th, I've worn the same clothes. My Hokies United t-shirt and a pair of jeans, the same pair of jeans I was wearing on April 16th that I got red paint on that week when I was on the drill field painting at the memorial. And I was thinking about that this morning because here I stand 10 years later wearing different clothes this time, dressed up for the resurrection, for the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And it just feels right. And today I'm not standing here telling you about grief, but instead I get the privilege to introduce to you a couple who represents life. It was a total God thing for me to be introduced to Alan and Tammy, to a woman that I had just met who immediately passed along my contact information to Alan, and that was back in December. We've exchanged emails over the past few months while God was doing his thing in the background. And just yesterday, I got to meet them in person for the first time, and we had the privilege of having them over to our home yesterday evening. So I want to introduce to you Alan and Tammy Hill, the parents of Rachel, who was one of the students that lost her life 10 years ago today, and she was their only child. But while they will never lose their identity as Rachel's mom and dad, they have been determined not to let the tragedy of that day define them. Instead, they have entrusted themselves to the Lord, and he continues to move in their lives and write a story of hope and redemption for his kingdom. So it's my pleasure to welcome and introduce to you Alan and Tammy.
Good morning. Standing here is an answer to our prayers that began 10 years ago. We've waited and waited and waited for the Lord to make this day occur. We've not sought it out. We've prayed. He gave us a promise, I will give you an open door that no man can shut. That's the word of God. And in 5 minutes, something that takes 3 hours to describe, I'll just share pieces and parts of what that has looked like. The word that became real to me, because talking about many things of God sound really good. You know, we preach it all. You know this. You can flash up some slides. It looks really cool until you walk through it. And the rubber must meet the road. Is God who he says he is? Or is he not? Where was God on April 16th? The infamous question. In so many hearts and minds. He was right here. He had not gone anywhere. And so a word that became real to my wife and I anytime we share parts of our story or minister the word of God is in 1 John. What we have seen, what we have heard, and what we have handled concerning the word of truth. This is what we share with you. These are not theories. These are not wishful thinkings. This is the truth. It has been our walk. And it is what has sustained us and given us not just hope. We don't survive. We thrive when we have Christ. It doesn't mean you get to go around everything. Some things you do. Some things you will walk through. Everybody in here is walking through something that they need the grace of God just as much as we did back then. I need the grace of God differently today than I did back then. That won't carry me. Therefore, none of this can be your identity. Our identity must be in Christ. So 10 years ago, about this hour, we were living our lives. Tammy had talked to Rachel that morning. The school was in lockdown. Tammy was at the grocery store, thinking there was an incident in a dorm. She was safe. All was good. So we went about our day. Rachel was then released from lockdown. And being the hyper-vigilant, serious student she was, traipsed across the drill field to her beloved French class in Norris Hall. And we walked through our day with people asking, how's your daughter? I said, she's great. We talked to her. She's great. So about mid-morning, we said, let's go see if we can find her. So Tammy had been trying, I had been trying. And the things you assume are that the communications are just overloaded because of what's going on. And slowly information began to trickle into us, and about mid-afternoon, 10 years ago to this day, about 3 o'clock or so, I'm 90 miles from home. Tammy's like, I'm going to go up to Tech. I was like, well, you don't want to go without me. So I bolted home, and somewhere in the four or so range of time, we headed off to Blacksburg with nothing in our hands. Just want to go find our kid, make sure things were good, and leave. We had no information. And so we headed up 64 West. For the people that are from Richmond know that 64 corridor to UVA is dark. The trees hug the interstate. The pines are over. It's like you're in a cavern until you get past Charlottesville. And the skies open up. And we headed across Afton Mountain. Both of us with this gnawing inside of us. The unknown. The only thing worse than the unknown is when what is known is horrible. And as we made that turn onto 81 South, seeing Afton in the chain of mountains south, it was the first time I heard the Lord spoke. And he said, Psalm 121, I will look to the mountains from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And at that moment, I felt like we were on a body identification mission. And we continued on. We pulled into Price's Fork Road in the dark. Blacksburg had been through about every season that day. Rates reported sideways snow. We pulled into mist. I mean, it had just been crazy weather that day. And when we pulled in, it's like, what do we do? We don't know what to do. We just want to find our kid. So we pulled into the Indian Conference Center, and it looked like a football game. Every kind of media outlet in the world was here. Nobody knows us from Adam. Rachel's a pretty hidden kid, so there's nothing that's going to draw any attention to anything other than you're in the middle of this thing. And so we pulled into the inn and parked the car curbside and just headed off to West AJ and beat on the door. And we got no answer. And so we headed back and checked ourselves in at the inn. We were led into a conference room, so those... Everybody knows what that's like over there. We're two people in one of these giant conference rooms with a television screen blaring what you're living. You're now on this side of the news. You're parched and you don't know what to do because you have nothing. And you wait and you wait. We go out in the foyer and get some water just to be active back and forth. So somewhere within a couple of hours, Rachel's friends came by and were like, we have no information. So, you know, somewhere within a couple of hours, we hit up the foyer, and there come three people walking in our direction. You go, that's a medical person, that's an admin person, and that's a chaplain of sort. In my heart, I'm going, this isn't going to be good. And it wasn't. And they do this, leading you back into that room. And they tell you, your kid's been killed. And all of a sudden, your world, everything you've done, everything you've poured in to your child, it's over. Ends. And you know God. You know God. And so we asked him to kind of leave us alone. We said, we know the counselor. Just leave us alone. And they left. We fell on our faces before God. We've never asked why. Because that question has an answer so deep and huge, I don't believe a human can understand. We said, Father, we do not blame you for this. We do not understand this. But we ask one thing of you. Spare us from bitterness. Anybody who's walked through deep difficulties knows these things split families apart. And I can tell you 10 years later, I can tell you 1 year afterwards, God had spared us from bitterness. But it came in knowing him and knowing his voice. So you hear from room to room screams of people hearing the news cry out. We were put in the inn that night. We didn't have anything with us. And they put us next to other families and you hear people sobbing through the walls. That's what this looks like, folks. I'm trying to be honest with you. Because we don't stay here. So we packed up a room, headed back to Richmond the next day. It's like, what do you do? We left like a football team who's lost the big game. We leave. No one will ever know she's been here. No footprint. But it was that night when we got home, the following night, in our bed. I'm trying to do this fast, I can't, folks. That we were in bed, and that's where we came unglued before God. We cried just like you can imagine. And we have lost everything in our mind. But that's where our Father met us. It's like your dad just said, come here, lay in my lap and weep. You should weep. And in that, when we cried ourselves out, maybe we were holding each other so tight. And in that, I heard him. And he said, Al, I know this hurts. And I did not stop it. But I promise you I will redeem it. And if you will back away from your pain for a minute, I will show you something incredible. And all of a sudden, I got a picture of Joshua 6 and Jericho walls coming down. And that became our cry for the next year. Though we lose everything here, we ask you, Father, one thing. Tear down spiritual walls and bring life out of this thing. We don't want money. We don't want fame. We want life. It is the only thing worth this is life. God gave my wife a word. You will have no laws. How does that work when it's all gone? Your paradigm has shifted. You must be kingdom-oriented and focused to see things like, children, obey your parents that you may have long life in the world. Well, how do you put that in your pipe and smoke it a while? Because it doesn't work anymore. You've got to see from God's perspective. And God began to do that in our heart. And as we walk, there are many things He worked into our lives, folks. But I'm going to tell you this right now. The secret to being free of bitterness, I don't care if you've been abused, I don't care if you come from a crappy family. I don't care if you lost your job or looking to be something. The key is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a serious key to being spared of bitterness. And like I said, that preaches real well. But when the Lord starts working in your heart, that guy that killed your kid, I want you to forgive him. Because there is your freedom. And the thing about forgiveness, because it's the way God rolls. God is not holding back forgiveness from anyone here in the whole world. And you know what? When you give forgiveness, someone can refuse to receive it, but they cannot stop you from giving it. And that's freedom. And that's one of the key things we learned as we walk with God through this. And as He did, He started bringing us out. It didn't take but a year. And we start seeing miracles happen. Things that are written about and talk about began to happen. Up to the Lord, when will this occur? And I can tell you what. Our cry has been one thing. We ask God for 1 million lives for every life lost. We've got it. We don't even pray that anymore. We've marched that drill field. We've done everything God told us to do that first year. And it is done. We're just waiting for it to show up. In other words, it's going on. Blacksburg's placement, a giant rock went in the water, but the ripples are everywhere. Now, what do we do with that? We celebrate the fact that Jesus, the Father said that He declared Jesus the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection. And Paul said, if there is no resurrection, we are the most foolish of all people. Let's eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But there is resurrection. The Lord has given us that verse. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are remain will meet them in the air. Let me tell you what, my wife and I quote this every day. Jesus can't get back here fast enough. We are shocked He hasn't already gone. I mean that. I mean, when you go through this stuff, you're like, I don't care about this earth. You know, it's a little self-centered, you. But God's kind when He walks you through that stuff. And will meet you today where you are and walk with you. I'd ask you, get over it. You don't get over it. You don't cope. I mean, you may hide somewhere walking through your stuff, but God has put eternity in your heart. And only He can fill that void. And if He isn't filling it, it's still a void, no matter what you put in its place. So I just want to share that this is about eternal life. I don't want to detract from today. We laugh at you. You just can't make this up. 4/16 is falling on Easter Sunday. I don't even care about that stuff. And it's like, you just can't make this stuff up. This is life. Life eternal. Just sang that song. Man, isn't that incredible? He broke through the grave. Death has no power. And I'll let you in a family secret, and I'll get out of here. So next time we're at a football game, and we all start doing this at the entrance, I want you to know a secret. That song, Tammy, have turned into a prayer. And here's our prayer. Father, can we stand on the edge of the pit and you play that song the day you kick Satan in that hole? Next time you hear it, this song will never be the same. We'll tell you in football games, Tammy, when that song starts, we weep. There's a day coming, vanquished. Live for that day. Let us all run today. Let not that day come upon us. Like David, hastening to Goliath. That's the word Peter uses. Hasten to that day. Don't fear that day. Get to know him today. And you'll run to that day. Praise God.